Tom Karkel in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, cloudy, good chance for some mainly afternoon showers and thunderstorms. We'll have a high around 67. Kenosha right now, 60 degrees, 61 in Burlington, 59 Milwaukee, also 59 in Racine. With less than 2 weeks before the special mayoral election in Racine, the two candidates, Alderman Sandy Widener and State Representative Corey Mason, touted their qualifications and answered a number of questions during a forum held at Gateway Technical College, sponsored by the Racine Taxpayers Association. In his opening statements, Mason said he's going to bring real change to City Hall, indicating that things will definitely change.
I am somebody who wants to bring real progressive values back to the city, that believes strongly that a strong middle class with good family supporting wages is the best thing that we can do to move the community forward, that we've got to have strong public schools that are supported broadly by the community, and that we need to protect our environment and have an inclusive community where everyone can succeed regardless of their background or national origin.
Sandy Widener said she's not a politician, but rather a representative of the people.
We have a lot of problems that are created out of City Hall. We have dysfunction and self-indulgence that needs to be addressed. And I believe that there is a time for optimism for the city, and I look forward to that day, but things need to be fixed before we can move ahead. And I believe that because of the experience that I have and the will that I have to fix those things so that we can move forward for all people in the city, I'm the right person to be the mayor of the city of Racine.
There's another NAACP-sponsored forum coming up next Thursday, October the 12th, at the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Community Center, beginning at 6 p.m. That'll be the last one scheduled before the October 17th special election, the winner taking office November 7th to replace interim Mayor Dennis Weiser and filling out the rest of John Dickert's term up until April of 2019. City of Racine Development Office aggressively moving to get projects going with plans for the immediate and long-term future, also taking steps needed to attract new business and make the business setup process easier. During the Redevelopment Authority meeting, Development Director Amy Conley noted more detailed information and transparency than in the past, including with the Intergovernmental Revenue Sharing Fund.
It was by my experience in the past that the IG Fund had, maybe four or five line items, and that was really it. There wasn't a description of the projects that were being done. This is very clear and very laid out and very transparent about what our plans are.
Connolly said the details for each project and the various components will be documented in form to improve the process. She talked about places like the old Machinery Row site being renamed for the Rootworks and Water Street project. There are plans for over $6 million worth of bonding for things like demolition, environmental cleanup, and seawall stabilization, with a payback over the next 16 years. Uptown, she said, will get significant attention going forward. Things like Triangle Park, a pedestrian pass-through. Also the potential for creating a performing arts center in the old Uptown Theater. A study going to be done on that. City Administrator Jim Palahniuk telling the RDA, we have a very bleak future with the singular exception of finding ways to create net new construction, while also noting the unique luxury of the Intergovernmental Fund and its $37 million over the next 16 years. Racine's Durand Plaza, an affordable senior and disabled housing facility on the city's southwest side, has been purchased by a Chicago-based company and is proposing some $2 million worth of renovations. Here's WRJN's Janet Hoff.
The renovations will include upgrades to the kitchens and bathrooms of most of the units, and all the buildings will get new windows and roofs. Evergreen Real Estate Group purchased the 72-unit complex at 3003 Durand Avenue with plans to upgrade the facility over 6 to 9 months, beginning early next year. The four two-story buildings were constructed in 1970. The Biz Times reports this is Evergreen's first project in Racine. The company owns an apartment complex in Milwaukee. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
In Kenosha, the City Council this week approving the transfer of more than $77,500 out of contingency to the parks budget to buy a refrigerated ice skating rink. Alderman Scott Gordon, calling it a great idea, suggested the rink be located somewhere in the downtown area.
I'm just going to ask everybody to put on your imaginary goggles for a second here and just picture this portable ice rink somewhere downtown, whether it's Parcel A or, like the mayor and I had chatted earlier, somewhere by the museum. But imagine how many people are going to come downtown to go ice skating. It's great.
Gordon calling the Parks Department to find a group or organization maybe want to rent skates or sell hot chocolate. Alderman also approving the transfer of $19,500 out of contingency for the annual city holiday tree lighting ceremony. A woman hired to be a caretaker for another woman with dementia, charged with theft, allegedly took more than $39,000 in jewelry from the victim's home. In Racine County court records, 28-year-old Malta Valle began caring for the woman through an agency in May. Then in June, family members contacted Caledonia police after noticing the missing jewelry. The investigation determined that Valle had pawned jewelry around that time. Investigators claimed that she admitted taking the items because she needed the money for an apartment. Her initial appearance postponed until later this month to give her time to find an attorney. A two-vehicle crash at Highway 20 and 90th Street at the Sturtevant and Mount Pleasant border yesterday afternoon caused one vehicle to flip over and caused quite a bit of traffic problems at that busy time of day, one of the drivers going into the hospital with some injuries. Sturtevant police indicating a westbound SUV containing several Case High School cheerleaders collided with an eastbound van during a turning maneuver, which sent the SUV into a roll. The cheerleaders not hurt, the operator of the van taken to Ascension Hospital in Franklin, according to police. Just after 2 o'clock this morning in the city of Kenosha, on the far west side, around the 7400 block of Green Bay Road, a vehicle was found in the pond by the retail complex, not far from the old Goldman's department store. City Rescue Squad was sent out. A couple of people reportedly getting out of the vehicle and out of the water. The Jeep Grand Cherokee, we're told, listing to a residence in the Paddock Lake area. Details about the accident, further details are not available. A tow company had to be called in to get that vehicle out of the water. Early this morning, about 1 o'clock or so in Racine County, a vehicle heading northbound at a high rate of speed on the interstate was eventually clocked, and there was a pursuit for one time by the sheriff's department that was called off by the deputy involved, the offending vehicle simply pulling away from that deputy. Well, then the deputy came across the vehicle that had apparently crashed in about the middle of the 27th Street off-ramp heading toward Milwaukee County. Vehicle was found on its side, the driver's door open, nobody inside. There was an immediate search of that area. Apparently did not find that individual who was driving the car, which, by the way, turned out to have been stolen during a break-in at an auto dealership in Franklin. Milwaukee's Brannigan Communications has created a brand new logo, a new brand, and a website for the City of Racine Development Department designed to simplify the process for prospective businesses, also be a catalyst for future economic development. Speaking to the Redevelopment Authority, Company President Kathleen Doherty said that Racine is ripe, in her word, for a dramatic increase in future development, and that Build Up Racine, as it's called, is going to play a role in that.
You have all of the pieces in place. You have a walkable downtown. You are on a lakefront. You have existing businesses. You have a distinct kind of commercial downtown, as well as a growing art scene. And so those are assets to leverage. And those are all of the pieces that we considered in putting together. I mean, how do you brand economic development? It's extremely intangible. But what we wanted to do was make it tangible. We wanted to make it something that you could own and something that you could really use, as I said, as a springboard.
Digital strategist Griffin Goda said that buildupracine.com is separate from the city website and created for simplicity of use, as well as easily being adjustable from the other side. He noted that while it's business-related, there's also tourism-like components to it. The logo has the outlines of famous landmarks, the Wind Point Lighthouse, S.C. Johnson Tower, and their downtown building, also the Racine County Courthouse. BuildUpRacine.com will be launching soon, eventually linking to the city's webpage. Foxconn getting to work in southeast Wisconsin, well, of course, before starting to build that massive factory in Mount Pleasant. Company says it's going to be renting a location somewhere in Racine County to train employees and test out new products. It will also create an experimental center to make sure that whatever they do 2 to 3 to 4 years down the road will continue to be the most advanced technology available. Claude Lois, the project director for Mount Pleasant, hired in August to handle development related to Foxconn, notes that a public hearing will be held on the tax incremental district proposed to be the local financial driver of the project site. A general information meeting on the Foxconn project coming up next Wednesday evening at the Mount Pleasant Village Hall. Now that we are officially knowing where this Foxconn project is going to be going in Mount Pleasant, you can expect that this topic is going to occasionally filter into all kinds of everyday conversations as well as local government meetings, given that it is getting into be budget time for a lot of the communities. At the Redevelopment Authority meeting, City Administrator Jim Palahniuk believed that there might be a positive impact on the Intergovernmental Revenue Sharing Fund with this, which of course includes Mount Pleasant, but otherwise he said the devil is in the details.
And there is somewhere out there a 39-page tax increment district plan, of which none of us have seen it yet, and we only can speculate as to what the final details will be. The other thing you hit on is, what will be the final amount of both water and wastewater that is necessary for Foxconn?
He said once the company's water wastewater needs are nailed down, the question then is how to achieve that. When asked whether the city's water utility has been involved in discussions with Foxconn about future needs, Palahniuk offered no comment. And when it was suggested the lack of communication on such an important issue was amazing, he said, quote, amazing is a really good word, unquote. The proposed $764 million local incentive package from the county and the village of Mount Pleasant reportedly does include about $160 million toward water and wastewater. WRJN.com, that's our webpage. We keep our newscast in the local news section of it. And throughout the day, at WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.